Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
From Boston. Had ourselves a little recast last week, huh? Let me guess. Biscuit was out playing lawn darts with the ghost of James Dean. It doesn't matter. I just hope you guys are well rested and ready to get after it this week. Later!
Play this record as frequently as possible.
Soundtrack to my youth.
Really? I don't know what it is.
Come on, man.
It feels good. Yeah. It feels good. Oh, it feels good.
Nothing?
No.
Tony. 96.
I'd say 90.
1990?
I have to look it up, but yeah.
Is it Tony, what? Tony, Tony?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
That's the person singing this?
It's a band. It's a group. It's a trio.
I never heard of Tony, Tony, Tony.
Oh, wow, bro. Wow.
Are they all Tony? Is that why?
I don't know why it's Tony, Tony, Tony. welcome back, Pete and Sebastian Show. 5:13, April 16th, Tuesday, out here in Los Angeles. I know you're hearing this on a Friday. Pete, in Fredonia, Lou at the Hub in Manhattan. Sorry about the replay last week, but we just found out that we have to take weeks off. Is that right, Lou? Lou could speak to that more than I can. Is there a required amount that we're supposed to take off?
Yeah.
Lou's going to want to just crank up the Tony, Tony, Tony and not answer this.
We got to take six shows off a year, maybe eight.
All right, 6 to 8 shows a year. You're going to hear a rerun. It's in the contract. They don't want us on the air. And that's the deal. So you're going to hear a rerun every once in a while, although last week was really hard for us to get together, so we took one of those days off. Let me paint a picture. Sun is kind of going down here, overcast day. I got, I don't know, about 3 ounces of red Cabernet. Not that there's a white, but it's a nice full-bodied cab.
Yeah?
Yeah, just popped it open. A little early for me, 5:15, having a glass of wine. Don't like to drink on the cast, but long day. Long day. I had a photo shoot today with Martin Scholler. Look him up. A New York-based photographer who... His style is like hyper detailed close ups.
Seen
his last work was not his last work, but most popular. One of the most popular photos you've seen was that the Colin Kaepernick photo where it's just him for the Nike ad.
Oh, yeah.
It's
okay.
Just a big
wow.
Super close up. So, yeah, he and I got together to do some really cool photos today. And they're for the. Can't really say it, but can I say it? No, next week.
Next week.
Right. But that's where I'm at, and I've been chomping at the bit to get on the cast with you guys to go over a few things. And Pete, I don't know if you want to come out of the gate with something you got, but where do we stand here?
You know, we can. You know what? We can start with you. I just two things I want to say. One is I know Annie Leibovitz. That's and then I don't know any other photographers. Like as far as
actually,
famous.
I think he worked under Annie Leibovitz when he first started out.
Does it still have the same general feel as any other photo shoot in the sense that, like, is he like, all right, think of something happy or smile or like, or is it just special ways that these famous photographers go about filming you? Do they just go, just sip coffee and think about a dead relative? Like, what do they do, guy?
So this is probably my third photo shoot with one of these kind of high-end people, and they just bring a different energy to the room than, let's say, a guy that like you went and paid $300 for like headshots.
Yeah.
They're calculated in what they want.
Give me angry. Will you give me angry? You've had a bad day. You're cranky. Yeah. Thank you. Good. Ooh, angrier. Ooh, you're scaring me. Stop it. Yeah. Good. Okay. Walk for me. Talk for me. Yeah.
They are masters with the equipment that they have. This guy had a 150 megapixel camera. Could see my brain in the photo.
Well, see,
that's how clear the shit is.
It's like, so if anyone who knows how to use that camera, have that camera, can they get that shot? Like, how does he get in a better shot of your skin pores than I could with that camera?
Just how you get a unbelievable laugh when you do stand-up comedy.
Oh, so he took that photo 72,000 times in every shithole around the country for 10 years? Is that what
he did? No. He's probably taken 72,000 photos, though.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. Touche, man. Yeah. Touché. No, I hear you. I've actually had work done once by a really exceptional photographer, and you look at it and you're like, wow, this is like totally different ball game.
You could totally tell him the work.
Show me some teeth. Come on. I bet the girls like you, huh? Huh? The girls? To the guys? Bet they both do, huh? Huh? What about the animals? Do they like you? That's it. More. Yeah, come on. You're big. All right, destroy me. Destroy me now. Yeah. Destroy me. Yeah. Give it. I've worked with better, but not many. Thank you.
I don't even know where to begin, but I'm going to begin. Two Sundays ago at the Beverly Hills Farmers Market. Now, every Sunday, I'm not going to say every Sunday, but a lot of Sundays, my wife, myself, and Serafina hit a farmers market. Could be Hollywood, could be Beverly Hills, it could be Melrose. And we like to go to the Beverly Hills Farmers Market to pick up three little baskets of Harry's berries. They're the best strawberry I've ever tasted. Really? It's delicious. And it goes for $8 a basket. So a basket's one of those little green... You ever see those little green little baskets they have at the grocery store? Small.
Yeah, so Harry's almost banging out a dollar a strawberry. Right? I know those baskets.
I gotta tell you, it's worth $1.50.
Wow, right? Man. Now, does Harry's stuff get shipped, or can you only get it in L.A.? Has he got a farm there? What's the story with this guy?
I think it's a local farm. I don't know if it's Central California or where they're exactly located, but Jesus, you got it.
Lou, you ever have a strawberry?
What is that?
I didn't think so. All right, sorry, bro.
But the strawberries is not what I want to talk about.
Oh.
We go to, they have a little petting zoo there where they have rabbits, small goats. What else do they have? Pony and a horse.
Nice.
But in a fenced area, they have these rabbits and these goats, and what Serafina likes to do sometimes outside, like the cage, they have some like long stemmed green vegetable that you could feed through the fence, and you could see the goat eat it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this week they didn't have the vegetables outside, but inside this cage where you could actually go. I mean, there's families inside the cage kind of petting. Yeah, they let a couple people in, you know what I'm talking about? It's like a big circle that's fenced off.
Sure, sure. Okay. I got it.
That you could go in with your kids, pet it, and then when you're done, they let other people in. And on the ground is some like green hay that the animals eat. All right. So since there was nothing outside the cage, I asked the guy, I said, excuse me, could you give me some of the hay, you know, that's inside the cage? He looked at me, hesitated, and said, I'd rather not touch the hay.
All right.
Now, his kid's in there with like chicken feed in the hand, and the goats are eating the chicken feed out of the kid's hand, and this guy doesn't want to get his precious hands dirty.
Oh my God, were you not stewing?
Oh, so Juan is like right next to me, and I look at him, I go, oh bro, you just made the cast. He didn't know what to do. Like, he didn't know what the hell that even meant.
Right.
Oh, and that's new saying for the show.
And I look to my left, and these two guys, like, roll their eyes, like, really? He didn't give you the A? Like, everybody outside the cage was on my side. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't have the full picture, man. There's hay all around me. He's feeding with his kid, and you're just, oh, man, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, now it's uncomfortable, man.
Right? I couldn't believe I was stunned that this guy, like, that was like the, I wouldn't have even thought that guy would be any way, shape, or form apprehensive about picking up hay underneath his feet to give to another man to give to his kid. Come on, man. You're in the cage.
No, I know.
You're like, the animals are brushing up against your pants, bro. You're going to have to burn your pants as soon as you get out of there.
This guy didn't want to help you. Now, were you able to just let it? You let it go? Like, because for me, I'd get in the cage when it's our turn next. I'd be like, anyone else need hay? Because I'm not an asshole. I'll hand it out.
Bro, I ain't going in. We don't go in the cage. That's all I need. The time I go in the cage, I get attacked by some wild goat that's got some disease. And I'm dying in a hospital in 24 hours. Fuck that. I ain't going in. I'm not going in there.
Wow, well, this is painting a little bit of a different picture now, though, man. I thought you were waiting your turn, and in the meantime, you feed them from the outside.
No, I'm outside the cage wanting to feed the animals through the safety of the net, of like the whatever, the wired cage. I ain't going in there. It's a death trap.
But he's in there.
Huh?
The other guy's in there, though, right?
Yeah, fool. I'm not going in. There's literally 16 animals in there.
Yeah, but they're all animals. I know those petting zoos. If all of them attacked you at once, you could still wipe them all out, man.
No way, bro. No way.
You don't think so?
Yeah. No.
Well, the horse. I mean, not a horse. You can't.
No, the horse and pony are not in this cage. Goats and bunnies are in the cage. I'm thinking if one of the goats taps another one and goes, all right, this guy's going down, there's no way I could fight off a large goat and his son in one of those cages. They're violent, bro.
Yeah, well,
the, They ripped the grass out of Serafina's hand with vigor.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, it's the hoof kick that you got to worry about most. But I feel like I could take 4 or 5 goats as long as they don't get me down, man. You know, then you
could
got a problem.
You could fight off 5 goats at once.
I think I could, man. Yeah.
Lou, could you Google what the danger is of fighting? Is there anybody that ever died from a goat attack?
I got to figure up. Right out of the gate. I got to figure they're not smart enough to all come at me at exactly the same time. Couple of them, yeah, come on. I got to walk you through this. Couple kicks to the face of these little fucking things. Couple rib shots. I mean, I figure one and done. And they don't bite like bad, right? They bite, but like not rip skin.
I don't know. I felt like if I got in there with 16 goats and bunnies, that even a bunny could maybe clip your eyes off with a bunny kick or something.
Yeah, I don't go near bunnies, man. They tend to bite. But I listen, and I don't mean to disagree with you for the sake of disagreeing. But on one hand, if I'm a dad and I get a sense that you don't want to be in there because you don't feel safe in there, but then you're asking me to step up and give you hay. It's like, you know, hey, get some balls, daddy, and come in here and get your own hay, right? No?
He don't know that I'm not going in there. I'm just a guy outside trying to have fun with my daughter.
Let's be honest. You're not really afraid to go. You probably got nice shoes on.
Beautiful shoes.
Yeah, right? I'm sure. You don't go to no farmer's market and shit shoes. let him go in there and hand his... Did you even ask anyone else for the... Or did you just shut down? Oh, they're the only family in there. I forgot.
Oh, I should... No, and here's the kicker. There was a family who looked like they bought, like, bundles of vegetables just to feed the animals. They tapped me on the shoulder, and they're like, here, have some of our vegetables. And I turn around and I do one of these. I felt like you. I did, here's a family nice enough to share.
There you go.
Sebastian, turn on your mic, please, buddy.
That was pretty loud.
But mountain goats are usually the killers. They gore you.
Speaking of farm, dude, Sadie's birthday's in June, and Jackie's like, this is the last birthday party we're going to do. Then we're just going to start doing, like, she'll have 3 friends and do something with them. So she goes, so let's do a fun party, something different. And she goes, let's go to I found out about some farms where you can have a birthday party. So we go recently and we scout out one of these farms. And, you know, you rent it, like, they set it up for you. And you have it for, like, 4-hour party and they ride the horse. So we pull in, dude, fucking dirt, mud. We're not even halfway up the driveway and the dirtiest fucking shit dog starts running up, barking at the car. And I as we're pulling it, I'm saying to Jackie, oh, this is like a working farm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like I don't want, you know, I don't want a farm where it's supposed to just be pretty and fake shit. You know, just a couple of animals that you pet. So then we walk in and the lady's showing us, she comes walking out of the barn in like those giant boots up to the waist. And just, you know, long gray hair, just totally like, you know, farmers, they don't have time for anything but the animals, man. Mud everywhere. And she's showing us, this is where they ride them. And then we set up a little picnic table here. And I'm saying to Jackie, they're going to ride the horses for a couple minutes. Then she's going to be opening up presents with flies and shit. This is, I don't think this is a go here, you know. So we bailed on it. And then this week we found what's called, it's a riding stable. And that's where I'm having the party. You pull in, all indoor, beautiful cement. And then in the middle, like the size of a football field, it's all dirt and sand. Beautiful horses, crystal clean. Horses so clean, dude, I'd eat a sandwich off the back of these horses, man. And you get to ride the horses for an hour straight. Then you get your own brush and bucket and you get to brush your own horse, brush them up, clean them up, walk them back to the stable. Then we all go over to the air-conditioned or heated area with TV and pizza. And then we all get out of there with no flies and shit on us. Nice.
That sounds like something I would definitely be into. Although I thought you would be more geared towards the authentic experience going out there, milking a cow, getting kind of dirty. I didn't think you would like the kind of the hoity-toity farm experience.
You know, for a birthday party, I don't think I want it dirty like that, but you bring up a good point, bro. If I die tomorrow, I'm going to be so upset that I've never seen the Grand Canyon. And, you know, I've never milked a cow. I've never grabbed a cow's tit. Nothing. Have you?
I know. No, neither have I.
You think you could in a pinch? Like if you and Lana was stuck at a farm, yeah. No one around, you can milk that shit?
Yeah, I think I could step up to the plate and milk a cow. No problem.
Oh, I go, dude, that's the red wine talking. I give you a tin bucket and I go out to the barn.
I'm not even an ounce and a half in to the wine.
Well, it must be tarantula wine guy because it's having the same effect. Smoke weed every day. all right, you got the udder. Do you even know you start high like a bat and work your way down? Like
why
popping
wouldn't
a big...
you?
Well, I...
What do you think you're going to... You think you're going to get milk from the bottom of the tit?
I don't know. I don't know if you just grab the tit and like give a little squeeze and they know to start letting the milk out. Or do you got to do all the work?
You got to get in there, man. I would even start even on that like almost like the belly of it and just bring that thing, you know. I think I could be an unbelievable guy, a farmer.
Well, did you just gulp another glass? Listen, first of all, what if you're milking the cow and you got like a little bit of, I'm saying nobody's walked you through this. You got a little bit. How do you even know if that's all it's giving you that day? How do you know when it's tapped out?
If I get a little bit out of the cow, I basically tell Lana, go to the grocery store and get a carton of milk.
but I mean, you have to milk them too, because if you don't, something happens to them, I think.
Yeah, I think you got to get it out of there or they explode. I don't know exactly what goes on, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. And then when you're done with that, you got to do the pigs, the chickens. Bro, forget it, guy.
That's where I put it.
You want to go on vacation? Oh, you can't. Who's going to take care of all that shit? Middle of the night, you're trying to watch TV, you hear one of your animals howling. Ah, shit. What's the odds that every animal on your farm all gets a good night's sleep in the same night? For what? Yeah, 50 cents? Then you got to get up on Saturday and go sell that shit to you and Lana. All right.
By the way, speaking of chickens and whatnot, I went to the farmer's market. I just thought the farmer's market, you get quality product for less money than you would find in the grocery store. Is that a valid assumption?
No, I thought you're paying more. Like this past Saturday, we have a farmer's market, and Jackie just needed eggs. So instead of going to the supermarket, I'm like, I'm going to support the farmer's market. And I went up there, I got the brown eggs, $4.50 a carton. I could have got two cartons for that at Top Supermarket. So, but I guess, you know, okay. The thought process is it's organic, all that?
All right. Well, you make my point even clearer. You know how much they charge for a carton of eggs?
Yeah.
At the Beverly Hills Farmer's Market?
How much?
Just take a guess.
For a dozen eggs at the Beverly Hills Farmer's Market. $5?
$9. Double what they're charging in Fredonia. Is the egg that much better?
What do you mean that much better, guy? First of all, I put the Fredonia egg over the Beverly Hills egg right out of the gate.
I would too. Fredonia egg sounds like it's going to be delicious. I mean, if you crack three or four Fredonia eggs for scrambled eggs... You know what I love? When the scrambled egg comes out bright yellow.
Yeah. Oh, yes. To me, that's a healthy. That's a healthy egg.
That's what I feel.
Now, are your Beverly Hill eggs brown or white?
Brown. Brown.
Yeah, okay.
The nerve.
I didn't get jumbo. I got large. Do you get jumbo?
No, it was a large. I don't care. Large, jumbo, small, I don't get $9 for eggs.
Yeah, but you're
we're almost approaching a dollar an egg there.
But this is what you're paying for. My farmer's market was at a Masonic lodge with like fucking some lady selling yarn shit she made next to that, some carved wood crap, and some guy with trout. And it was almost as if, you know, even if you weren't going to buy anything, they got that look like, just leave a dollar. You know what I'm saying? So you're paying for the ambiance, the beauty of walking where you're walking, the scenery, the horses that you're getting to see for free, and luckily feed if someone's nice enough to give you some vegetables. You're paying for the experience, which is beautiful.
I know, but I just think $9 is a little steep for a carton of eggs. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, no, it is. So, ours in the summertime is nice. It moves to right up the block from me outside, but in the winter, it's depressing. But I do love farmers markets, dude. They're awesome.
They are awesome. They are awesome. And support your local farmers market just as long as they're not soaking you on the eggs. So I don't know what I had going on, but I went to the gym after that. And there's a treadmill. There's one treadmill that I like to run on at the gym. It's real soft. It's one of these techno gym treadmills. Like, you know how some treadmills they have a lot. I'd say about 90% of them. You know, what do they call like the band that you run on? What would you call that?
The belt.
The belt.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not a belt. It's almost like it comes in like little rubber sections. Have you seen those types of treadmills where it's not one belt? It's almost like 70 like parts put together, but they're like kind of rubber. It
almost looks like one of those floors that are put together, but it actually rotates like a bulldozer tread or something.
A bulldozer tread. A great example. So this particular treadmill is next to one of those machines where it's like a mountain climbing machine. You know, you put your feet into it and your hands and you act like you're climbing up the side of a mountain.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You got a lot of high tech shit, man.
Yeah. I don't do that.
Nah, I don't put my arm up either. That's too much. It's too much.
Yeah. There's too much going on that machine, but. I go on the treadmill and I notice that the guy that's doing the mountain climbing exercise is watching a movie off his iPhone on the treadmill that I want to use. Right?
So he's got his iPhone on a separate machine than the one he's using.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So as I come up to it, it's one of those things I'm realizing what's going on as I'm walking on the machine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like, I don't notice it prior. I'm like, oh, I stepped on and I go, oh, he's watching a movie. Oh, my God. He's watching a movie while he's using it. It's like it's all happening at once.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he looks at me. And before I go kind of like with my hand, like if that was me and I was doing that,
right,
the iPhone would be off the treadmill as soon as someone stepped on it.
Almost a minute, they just within 10 feet. And if they do a walk past, then I'd put it back. I'm with you. You ever dangle your sweatshirt on a machine next to you? I get so tired of looking over that I go, ah, fuck it. And I throw it on the floor. Because I'm just like you. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
This is insane. People bother me, man. Know. I can't take this shit.
So
what do we do? What do we do?
So I give like a hand motion to it because he's got like earphones in.
Right.
So I give like a kind of hand motion like, all right, guy, you know, the movie's over.
The movies, I don't know why that's funny, man. This is done, yeah.
And he looks at me, he goes, I'm almost done. Like, almost to say, wait another 10 minutes because Game of Thrones is almost, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
And I go, I'm going to stretch out. The thing is, I already stretched out. You know, like.
Yeah.
So I'm stretching out now on the machine, which I hate people that do this anyway, but I'm doing it. So he kind of goes, like, as soon as he pulls that iPhone off, my stretching is done.
Right, but bro, okay. Go ahead.
And I know this is probably not what you would have done.
No, you'd fail the Pete University, by the way. But keep going.
Totally failed here. But I didn't know what to do. Like, what do you do in this situation?
I just can't believe your natural instincts being who you are. It's like you were possessed by somebody nicer than you and me are. I'll stretch for a second so you can finish up your fucking bouncy little movie? I'd have been like, I'm starting up the machine. If it falls off and I step on it, I don't know what to tell you, guy. And then if he still didn't, I just.
Okay. So hear me out. All right. I was starting to stretch and I felt your presence. I felt, would Pete be doing this? So 3 minutes into the stretch, this guy's still watching Game of Thrones. Fuck, I fire this thing up. All right?
Nice.
I fire this thing up, and he's still watching. Like, I can't believe.
Oh, my God.
This guy is still watching Game of Thrones, and I got this thing. And I was nice. I started it, like, on a 3.0 walk. All right?
Yeah. Now, his phone is literally on the ledge right next to all the buttons you're pressing to stop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a Seinfeld episode. Holy shit. How intense is this right now? You must be stewing again, man. This is worse than the hay.
This is worse than the hay. And it's getting so bad. And he's watching like nothing is happening. So I go a step further with it, bro. I start putting it on an incline. I got this thing moving up. His phone is on a bed of towels. Like, because he can't put it anywhere on a flat surface, so he had to make almost a TV stand on my treadmill.
Now, are you pretty sure when you get this thing up to 10, it'll fall over, or are you still not sure?
Oh, no. Definitely, if I hit anywhere past 6.0 on an incline, this thing's coming off.
Oh, nice.
But what I want to do is just warn him, this is where we're headed. This is where we're going with this, all right? So I want to see how long this guy's going to keep it there, right?
Yeah.
So I start putting the thing up, and he notices it's going up, and he looks at me like, you gotta be shitting me that you're doing an incline right now. So I hit 3.0, and the phone slightly begins to move, you know?
Yeah.
Just little movement on the phone.
So he stops. He's a friend.
Yeah, he stops his workout, grabs his phone, rips the towels off my treadmill, and walks away and gives me a glance as he walks away. And I see the glance, but I don't do direct eye contact with him. I just kind of put my head down. And then I continue to put it on an incline like that's where I was going. Bro, I never do an incline.
I know. I figured you didn't. I thought you were going to tell me you put it back off and started stretching again.
Wow. Oh, two instances
beautiful back. Move, dude. Beautiful move.
I felt like I was getting soft. And then I'm like, forget this, man. Let's kick it in gear here and let's get it going on an incline. So, yeah. That was last week. let me bat it over to you because I don't want to monopolize here.
No, you don't monopolize. It's fine. But, you know, just in terms of the freaking out like that, I like the way you didn't freak out on him, but then you still got everything that I get across with yelling without having to yell. And there's something to be said for that because now you ever pull this move where you do something wrong. Let me just explain it, right? I go into Rite Aid last week and I'm walking out and I look at my bill and it's 95 cents for kids. So I go back in. I'm like, what's this kids thing? Hmm. And she goes, oh, you round off. You put in to round off all your change, whether it, you have, you know, it's 93 cents or 2 cents. You round off your change for the kids. And I said, I didn't know I was doing that. I don't want to do that anymore. And she goes, all right, well, next time you buy something, you just let them know. So, I don't know how long I had been doing that. But for a long time I was doing that, right? So, nevertheless, next time I go back in Rite Aid, there's a guy now. He's a, like, 20-year-old, maybe 22. And today's youth, man, with the computers and stuff, they're introverts, man. They can't do the. I walk in, I go up to them, and I go to get something, and I go, hey, they told me to tell you about this thing that charges, rounds up my money for the kids. If I tell the register, you'll make it so it doesn't do that. Doesn't say a word to me, doesn't look at me, gives me my receipt, and I walk out. There's a line behind me. I get out to the car right away. I look, it says something like 42 cents to the kids. I'm like, God damn. I walk back in. There's a long line. I just lean over. I go, excuse me. I specifically asked you a question and about the kids, and you didn't do it. Just when somebody asks you a question, answer them, man. You just got to answer them. All right? Now I got to do this the next time I come. Come on. Just answer a question, guy. And I walk out. And he looked stunned. And I'm like, this kid's like, he's an introvert. All these young kids, it's ridiculous, man. So I get to the Home Depot, my next stop, and I grab the receipt, and I happen to look at it, and it says minus 42 cents, meaning he did reverse it. He did what I wanted him to do. So now I'm like, oh, wow, he actually, it was saying kids no longer, so I go to SAG, he actually did what I wanted, and I yelled at him. So now you ever do this, where I'm like, do I go back and say sorry? Or do I sit here and think of another reason why it was still okay for me to yell at that little kid? Yeah, right? And finally I decided, nah. I asked him a question. He didn't respond. If he would have responded and said he did it, I would have known. So, but again, that's one of those where for about another hour and a half, I was driving around feeling a little bad. Like, you know, I shot the gun. I shouldn't have shot the gun on the guy.
I know, but you shot the gun because when you pulled out the gun and said to the guy, you going to do this? And he didn't do it. And then, boom. Right? Like,
I know, like, but
he didn't say nothing.
But maybe he was doing a double cool move where he's like, I'm just going to not even respond to him and just show him I heard him and I did it. I don't know. I've been going to another Rite Aid now for the past 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, you got to acknowledge a refund. I'm sorry. You just don't do it. You got to give a nod or something. That's the problem with today's customer service. Are people just they can't even just utter a sentence anymore.
No, they can't, man. They just, we're living in a world of mutes. I can't, my daughter just walks around with looking at kids going, what's going on? What are you going to talk? Anything?
Yeah. Jeez. It's so bad, man. And like you said, these millennial kids, I don't mean to bag on them, but some of them, man, they're so used to like electronics and whatnot. The art of conversation has just gone by the wayside. But I'm a creep. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. Oh,
oh. The Pete and Sebastian Show.
I was fortunate enough last Thursday.
Oh, I love these.
To go
I mean, you did
to
something cool.
To go to the Masters.
Oh, nice, dude. So holy shit.
I'm not a big golfer. I have golfed before, but someone I know is a member of Augusta National and invited me as his guest to come down and experience Augusta. Now, I was staying in Atlanta. Augusta's about a two-hour drive. On Thursday night, I had a show at the Fox Theater. In order for me to really go and enjoy the experience, I had to get up about 5:30 in the morning to take the trek out there. And I had to tell you, worth every ounce of sleep I lost. This place is magic.
Oh, man, I bet, dude.
Now, to experience Augusta with a member is the way to go. Couple things I found out about Augusta that I did not know, and I apologize for those listening in the audience that know some of this, but I got to tell you, there's only 200 members of the Augusta National Golf Club, and you have to be invited to be a member.
Now, what is it? Just like a country club, but it's a prestigious one?
Nah, this ain't no country club. This is a slice of heaven, bro. Yeah. Country club is surrounded by homes, and there's like a tennis court and a spa and what have you. This is golf all day, all night. This place lives and breathes golf. Now, I don't know where to start. The guy told me, meet me in South Carolina, which is right over the border. And then I will drive us in because if you park over here, it's going to be madhouse. Only the members could drive where this guy was going to drive and park. So it was basically easy access in and out of the club.
Holy shit, man.
The guy picks me up and he goes, you won't be needing your cell phone. I don't know, bro. Something about someone telling me I can't take my phone somewhere. Right away, I'm like, this gotta be good.
Well, your wife is pregnant. What does that mean? You're literally not allowed to have your phone?
You can't bring your phone on the golf course. No phones allowed, man.
Wow.
Anywhere. 40,000 people are phoneless. And it felt like 1981.
And the countdown continues on American Top 40.
Kissy's Coast to Coast.
So far, the 80s have been quite a decade for remake hits. We're only 15 months into the decade, and already there are 24 remakes that have made the top 40. Here's one of the biggest of them. At number 6, Don McLean with his remake of the Roy Orbison hit, Crying.
I was all right for a while.
That's got to be a wild feeling. Did it feel different? Could you like feel like, wow, there's no phones?
Okay, I'll tell you. I felt it the most when I got introduced to people. I felt it not only from them, I felt it from me because there's no like getting introduced. And then, you know, sometimes when you get introduced to a group and maybe you don't know the group, so that group starts to go, I talked to Frank last week. Oh, you did? How's he doing? And then maybe you fade off into your phone. Do a fade off in a group conversation that you're really not participating in?
Yes.
Okay, this you can't go to that. So it forces you to engage.
That's number one. Beautiful thing, man.
Beautiful thing, number one. Number two, for me, that people who enjoy what I do normally come up to me, and that's all they want is a photo. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure people come up to you, hey, Pete. And then they got the camera there, and yeah, they're just doing the hey, Pete, to be nice, but ultimately they want to come out of this thing with a photo.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. There's none of that shit here. It's people just come up to you and that you actually talk to the person, which is far better than taking a photo, bro. It's amazing. I want to implement a no phone day. You know how they have bagel day, donut day, whatever stupid day they make up. Let's have a no phone day where everybody just walks around and leaves the phone at home.
God, would that be awesome? That would be awesome. I do that a lot anyway, but man, that would be awesome.
Yeah, you do it, but nobody else does it. It's different when everybody's participating in the exercise.
Absolutely.
Opposed to like you not having yours, but the people you're talking to, they had. So first and foremost, that was unbelievable. Secondly, I got a private tour at a wine cellar, and I got to tell you, man, this is unbelievable. The guy took me down there, gave me a full education on the wines, gave me some recos on, I'm looking for a nice summer white. I'm looking for a nice summer white to hang by the pool with this year. And normally I go with a Pinot Grigio, but this guy gave me some really nice exotics to get, not expensive. Looking forward to pulling those out.
So you're in the wine cellar at the Masters. During the Masters, dude. Shit. I mean, at Augusta during the Masters, crazy. Did you see Tiger Woods? Come on. All right, let's keep going.
Okay, so another fun fact about the Masters. Each member gets a green jacket, right? They must wear a tie and a green jacket while they are on the golf course. If they decide to leave the golf course, the jacket stays behind. Jacket doesn't go outside Augusta National. Can't wear it home.
Oh, man. Wow.
It's got to stay there. It's a rule.
Now, they're not expected to golf in the green jacket,
no,
right?
No.
Okay. All right.
But they want their members present. They want the members engaging with the fans. Because the guy I was with, a lot of people came up to him and asked him, hey, man, where's hole 14 or everyday kind of like golf nerd type questions about people and their interest in the golf course, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Got introduced to a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. And this guy was a gracious host. We went out, we had a little breakfast in one of the outlets at Augusta. They have a VIP experience there where it's like it looks like a small mall, but as you walk through in this kind of quasi mall they built are four different themed restaurants. One is seafood, one is like a whiskey pub, another one is Italian, another one is kind of like a casual type, and they got screens everywhere where you could watch the game. The restaurants are only open for the week the Masters are playing there. Bro, these are full restaurants. This would be like walking into the nicest restaurant in Fredonia, and it's open 7 days a week.
7 days for the whole year. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. They have all the stuff that's open just for the week of the, and they build it like fast. Like, for example, he was telling me that there's a bar around 12 and 13, the 12 and 13 hole that they built specifically so members would go down there during the Masters and kind of mingle with the with people. And the bar was like built within 6 months to kind of encourage the like the members to go down there. It'd be like a destiny. But they build it like and nice. And just for a week, I'm like, there's no way this place is open for a week. I'd hang out here every Friday night if this thing was in my town.
Right. Wow. It's just stunning, right? So now, when you're a member, does that mean that you can meet all the players and say hi to all the players?
I don't know the access to players that they have, but I do know that I was asking, let's say, if one of the guys who plays in the tournament wants to come in 2 weeks to play the course, he goes, nah, I can't do it. It's got to be, he's got to come with a member. Like Tiger Woods can play Augusta all year now that he won. But after right. that, if he doesn't win next year, he's got to be, he's got to have a member bring him. You imagine?
You're out.
Like, I'm thinking, shit, you win this tournament, you're a member for life.
That's they're what I thought. Totally,
no, no, bro. No. Oh. As long as you got the you're good for a year. After that, you got to win it again if you want to come back.
So, would you get to keep the green jacket like Tiger Woods, or does that stay too? And like when you're next year, if you don't win, do you give that green jacket to whoever won?
Good question. Good.
But I didn't know question. That. I thought you win. You're. I know you get to keep playing it the rest of your life if you win the Masters, right? I think you get a no. lifetime in. Not no that's to play the tournament. To play in the tournament, you do.
Oh, I thought you were just in for next year. I didn't think you were in for life.
I thought you were
telling
in the
me
tournament.
You win a green jacket. No. You win a green jacket. You're qualified for life. No way.
To play in qualified to play in the Masters the rest of your life.
No, just for the next year. You get to defend the championship. You're not in it for a lifetime, no way.
Oh, I thought you were. So no. Now for the whole year, Tiger Woods can go in every day and be like, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
Without paying.
But then he's got to give the jacket back next year if he doesn't win.
Yeah.
Does he?
Wow.
Yeah. He's allowed to take it home for this whole year, but then he's got to give it back if he doesn't win again.
Oh, you know. Because Tiger Woods won one before when he was kinky. You got to know he had sex with that jacket on. with someone other than his wife, with just the jacket, nothing else. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
So, holy shit, dude. Did you watch any of the golf live? Did you like
yes,
see
it? Yes, I watched Tiger Woods. Practice putt. He was on the putting, the practice putting green. And big guy, bro. I mean, is it? You know, you look at him, you're like, this guy golfs? This guy looks like he could be a wide receiver.
Now, is that guy got a certain feel to it with him? And I hate to put him, but he is the most famous. But like, it's almost like going to see the camel at the zoo or something, and everyone just sits around, right? Like him or Phil Mickelson, like you, and then you follow them to the next hole. They're so famous.
Yeah,
they're almost like exotic African animals.
Yeah. I feel like it was kind of zoo-like because we have all these people looking at Tiger, and he's like, you know, the big elephant, right? And
yeah.
All these other golfers were like putting, and as soon as Tiger went to go tee off, a swath of people literally left the green and went to the first hole. And like this guy's sitting there putting, and he's like, nobody's watching now. You know what I'm saying?
Right, man. I saw all them interviewing all the golfers, and they said the worst position to play in is to be in front of Tiger Woods, one in front of him. He goes, because it's just so much movement, people running to get to where you are, because Tiger's going to be there next. And he goes, the best is to play right behind him. Because it's so chill, like you're saying.
And they go, and it's fun to play. It's fun to play with them because it's exciting. But even when I'm watching on TV, just after he hits it and he's walking down the fairway, he's just a man. And I'm sitting there going, look at him walk. There he is. He's walking. There he is. He's walking. And I'm just like, just a dude walking, man. You know?
Right.
Yeah. But I know, I'm glad he won. I was rooting hard for him, man.
They don't take the jackets home either. They leave. They have to leave the green jacket at the club.
Now, come on. You're Tiger Woods. You're hanging out. You have a couple drinks. Night ends. You give some waves goodbye. You hop in your car. You're halfway down the thing. Come on. Make me come back. I'll bring it back when I come back.
No, bro. I think it's serious over there. They don't. Really
I know. It's cool and corny at the same time, man. And, you know, there was a time when women were trying to become members. They were making a big deal out of that, too.
Yeah, well, they have six members.
They got them in. Oh, all right.
See? Condoleezza Rice is one of the members.
Dude, can you imagine that?
Bill Gates, Warren Buffett's a member.
That's a big Twinkie.
I'm just getting another glass of my Cade 2016 cab from Howell Mountain, Napa Valley. Highly recommend this. Going to have some nice meat tonight.
I'll take my version of a sip right now, too, then, I guess.
Oh, wow.
All right, guys, we got a new sponsor. I'm excited to discuss this one. It's called Manscaped. All right? And it's all about manscaping, but it's Manscaped, Manscaped. Lou, from what I understand, you got this fantastic product as well, right?
Yeah, it's got all kinds of lotions, and there's foot spray for fungus, shavers. There's one main one called the lawnmower. I use it on my neck, on my arms. It's pretty amazing.
Look at how excited Lou is. This is great stuff. Let me explain, folks, okay? They do give you, as Lou said, a buzzer. And we all know we live in a time, I'm a little older and this is new to me, but a lot of people like to keep it trim and clean down there, men and women. And for men, this buzzer was specifically designed, you think, when you buy the Manscaped product to take care of that area. And it can be, if you want. But, as Lou said, this is a fantastic buzzer, which I'm using on my beard. But along with the fantastic buzzer, Manscaped comes with all this other awesome stuff. They have one thing called a ball deodorant. Right away, I'm like, what is it? Come on, ball deodorant. And my wife of 20 years goes, guy, why wouldn't you use that? Middle of the day, you have that going. It smells nice down there. It's fantastic for everybody. Boom, changed my thought on the whole thing. I'm not much of a cologne guy. They sent me Refined by Manscaped. You should see my bottle. You know why? It's already one quarter empty. And I've only had it for about 2 weeks. I'm not even a cologne guy. And I'm digging the light, clean scent of that. Plus, they got a little spray that you put on your feet. It's called Foot Duster. Just at the end of your day, you get out of the shower, before you slap a sock on, before you go to bed. Little spray on your foot. Give it a nice, treat your feet the way they deserve to be treated. All these products that the Manscaped people are bringing you, they're just good stuff for a man to have to take nice care of himself and make him feel better about being a man.
Shit, yeah.
I'm just saying, this is like the way a man might go out and get himself a whiskey neat and smoke a cigar and feel like a man. You get all these Manscaped products, you bring them home, you open them up, and you're going to put them on your bathroom shelf and instantly realize you just upgraded your hygiene game by about tenfold. Listeners to the cast can get 20% off your first order when you use the code, of course, DJ Lou, at manscaped.com. And if you order the perfect package, that's what it's called, the perfect package, they'll also throw in a free travel bag when you use the code DJ Lou. That's manscaped.com, promo code DJ Lou for 20% off your first order, and start manscaping today. And I just want to add, Lou got the travel bag. Talk to me about the travel bag, Louvy Lou.
It's got nail clippers, toenail clippers, like all this, anything you can want for when you're on the go. It's classy.
See, when you want to keep your Manscaped game on the road, they give you the travel package. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DJ Lou for 20% off your first offer, and start manscaping today. I'm in my house the other day,
now, and an old guy, old timer, walks by. He's a professor at the school. I see him walk by lots of times, right? And he's got his nice trench coat on. He's walking, and he looks over at my lawn, and I'm following him. I don't know why. I'm bored in my house. I'm walking through my house watching, and he sees something on my lawn, and he walks a good 10 feet right into the middle of my lawn, and he picks something up like a piece of paper, and he quick cups it and walks off. And I was pretty convinced it was like a 20 or a hunch.
Mm.
Now, he didn't put it right in his pocket, so, as you know, I have a corner house, so I was able to keep following him, and I'm watching his hand to see if he ever holds it up to see. Because in my head, I'll get to the point, but then he rounds a bend, and he looks, and it's a piece of paper, and I think he knew it was the whole time. I've seen him pick up garbage before. He's a nice guy like that. And he just puts it in his pocket. It was a piece of paper. But, if it was clearly a $100 bill, do I have a right to come out of my house and go, excuse me, I just saw you grab a $100 bill off my front lawn. Can I have that, please?
No.
Sorry. Jackie said the same thing, man. What? How is that a sorry? It's on my property. It's 10 feet into my property.
Yeah, but you didn't find it. He got it, and it probably blew into your property, and even if it's your 100, it's lost and found, bro.
I you can stand at the edge of my lawn, and if it blows off my lawn, have at it. But as long as it's on my lawn, especially 10 feet within, if you can't even lean over and get it without standing on my lawn, that's theft.
It's unclaimed property at that point.
How come if I have a bike in the middle of that lawn, he can't take that?
Because a bike probably didn't blow onto your lawn.
Oh, okay. All right. Things that can blow then? I'm just thinking.
If the money blows to the next neighbor's lawn, that's no longer your money, even if you know you dropped it?
That's a good point. If I know that's my money, now you got a good point. Shit. So, anyway, before you I know you got big news next week. I got some cool news next week. Not big news, but I'm excited to share. I don't know if we're cutting it off soon here, but I just have to ask. This is an Italian take, but did you see the Instagram or Twitter of Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks with no shirt on in his bed with Sierra at 1 a.m. announcing that his new contract went through?
I did see the contract. I think it's like $140 million. Right. I did see him with a girl. I didn't know if they were in bed or what, and I didn't know that was... Is that a singer?
Yeah, it's a very famous singer.
Yeah, so...
His wife, by the way.
Oh, it's a, okay, so what's
the... Are you giggling, Lou?
Well, she used to be famous. I wouldn't say she's in the game anymore.
Oh, she's not?
No.
Sierra is the name?
Yeah, you got it. You're right.
All
right.
What's the girl who wears like the hair wig that we don't see her face? Is that her?
No, that's
She wears like white and we don't know what she
that's
looks
Sia.
Like.
Sia. Yes.
Oh.
Okay. So different girl. Okay. So yeah. What's the take on what?
Well, the take is there's just in this world of social media, man. There's just no humility, man. I mean. A fad from England was telling me a story, which I looked into. Julius Caesar, all right? This guy, he literally hired a man whose only job was to
walk
around.
Hold on, Pete. I don't know what just entered the room. It's like a bird.
What?
Bro. Bro. Okay, I'm going to take a picture of this thing. I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God, man.
Yeah.
You got a roll?
No.
Oh, no, what is it, an insect?
Yeah. Bro, this thing.
I saw an Instagram thing. Where you with a bird or an insect with your broomstick to it. I was like,
no, bro, this thing's a bat. This thing. All right, I just killed it. I took a picture of it. By the way, if you guys want to see what I just killed, I'm going to post it on the Facebook.
Does the bug have its shirt on at least?
Jesus.
Fucking humility. No, Julius Caesar hired a guy to follow him around. Only his job was to remind Julius Caesar that he's just a man. That's the guy's job. And like, people need to be hired to do that today for people. I mean, you're laying in bed at 1 a.m. with no shirt on, with more years on your contract. You just threatened to leave if they didn't give you a long-term one. And whatever, I get it. These football players and every athlete deserves their money. Fine. I get all that. But can you just in the morning wake up and go, guys, good news, so he's laying in bed with no shirt on. And he goes, it came through. It's something like it's all good. Everybody go to bed.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
Oh, wow, bro.
I can't.
Wait a minute. Lou, I thought you were taking like a movie, a clip.
I'm hyperventilating. Hold on, I'm hyperventilating.
Wait a minute.
Fucking so conceited, dude. What? You need to sack him 17 times, guy.
Oh, wait.
All the Watts.
Wait, play that over again.
Okay, hey, Seattle. We got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
All right, pour another glass.
And just to add fuel to the fire, they're both stunning.
This is why I've done something like that. Like, not something like that, but like, you ever do an Instagram or a Facebook and then show it and like replay it and go, we can't fucking post that. Like,
yeah,
you like edit your stuff. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
they would have to look at that and go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Post that. Like, there's so many of, like, my posts that I earn the garbage that it's stupid. Right.
I delete most of my after I post them right away. People are like, did you just post something? I'm like, nah, go about your day.
Sorry, mistake. That was a mistake.
But I mean, yeah. So you're saying you think they edited this and still gave it the thumbs up?
Well, no, I'm just saying they made, like, what happened before that that they didn't post? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right?
Like, they filmed something. They go, nah, that ain't gonna work. And then they landed on this. I'm with you, bro.
Yeah.
This world of, like, I don't know, man. The more and more I look at social media, the more and more I start to run away from it.
That's, man, I really...
I noticed you're doing more on your social media where you're popping up doing, like, these, like, Pete scenarios, but at the end you're tagging, hey, I'll be in Cleveland, which I appreciate because you're giving the viewer a little morsel of comedy, and then you tag it with, hey, go get some tickets at whatever.
I try to, like, you know, give it something worth something, but man, dude, it's like, it's a burden all day long. I want to do one, and I'll start at 9 in the morning going, I got to leave something. By 4 in the morning, I'm like, you still got to leave something. And meanwhile, you know, certain comics, it's like they already left 17.
I know, bro. I feel the same way. It's like I'm sitting there looking for the perfect post.
Yeah.
And these comedians are doing like they're not even thinking. They just press record and they put it up. It's like, this is me. I'm sitting there going, I'm trying to curate the damn thing.
Right, and then there's the aspect too where some of the listeners are kind enough to say, well, you know, we want to know what you're doing in the morning, and I don't want you to know what I'm doing in the morning though. Like I like to present crafted funny stuff. Like even with this cast, if it's not funny, I get agitated in my head. I'm like, oh my god, you know, that's why I like doing it with you. You're hilarious to me. I have a lot of fun. Lou's hilarious.
Well, thank you very much. I'm fatter, flattered.
Yeah, bro. I don't know. I can't. Maybe let's chalk this up to some of these people grew up on social media, and it's just like, this is how they...
Yes, it is.
This is how they behave, which I totally respect. It's just like for guys like us to like, we didn't kind of grow up on the digital platform, and now we have to like share. Like I'm sitting there, I don't even want people looking at what my sheets look like.
Yeah,
to do a video from your bed. I'm like, fucking do that.
I was working out the other day, man. From your bed, bro. That's insane. I've seen him laying in bed with wives and husbands. Hey guys. Oh, that's crazy. I was in the gym the other day with Jackie. I had something funny I thought of, and I said something, and she even made her laugh. And then a few minutes later, she was doing something. I grabbed my phone. And I go to leave a video recording, and you know, my hair's a mess. And she comes over, I'm not even halfway done leaving, and she's just shaking her head back and forth, like, no, no. And I go, no. And she goes, your hair's a fucking mess, guy. I'm like, you're right. But like all these other guys, that don't stop them. That means nothing. They just send it, you know? So, and you're right. It's, I admire them in that way, that they did grow up like that, and it's a fearless
kind of fearless. Fear. No fear. Everything is fair game. I have like no camera zones in my house. Like I'm like, there's no way I'm posting this from here, right?
Yeah.
Cause I'm even looking at it like I don't even want to film like entryways into the home, right? You know, like if some psychotics are like, oh yeah, there's the front door. Okay. You know, like, do you want to do that?
No. Or they'll have a little comment about the property, you know, mm-hmm. Is that your property line by that tree? Is that where your property line? Oh, yeah. Just like, you know, random stuff that like that's not the point of the photo even.
I know. They dive into it.
How about this? About 3 weeks ago, I'm going to Home Depot and it's freezing out. And I pull into the parking lot and there's 12 handicap spaces, 3, 3, and 3. And I'm literally the only car except for employee cars to the side. So I get out of my car. And it's freezing. I go, hey, 30, you know, like 20 degrees, windy. Check it out. 1, 2. And I count them all out. I go, 12. I mean, come on. Isn't that a bit much? Are 12 people, you know, handicapped people coming for tools at once? You know, I didn't say wheelchair, but, you know, that's.
Yeah.
You know, within like 10 minutes, you know, there's some comments. And then I get one from someone. I'm handicapped. And, you know, oh, that's a shutdown. Edit fucking videos. God, never happened. Everybody, it's just a joke. Oh God! Now I lost my whole handicap audience. I lost my whole handicap.
Shutdown.
Hey, I haven't seen any one of my shows in a wheelchair ever since, bro. Word's gotten out.
Same thing, man. It's like you put something up, a couple comments start coming in. You're like, that's CNN news story. Shut it down.
Now. I just don't know how anyone, even if you are from Seattle, aren't you bothered by like, okay, we had to give, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, they do that thing where we'll work it out. I'm going to play out this year. They know I love Seattle. I'm sure we'll come to an agreement. He was already spreading rumors that he likes the Giants and that he might leave. And Sierra wants to go there anyway to New York because it's better for her career. And he didn't poo-poo any of that, you know. He's like, let them get worried. Let them give me my, you know, and then they give him the big thing. And fine, again, I get it. You deserve it. You're a great player and a wonderful man. But, you know, you got to lay in bed. And by the way, you can all go to bed. Like, he's assuming everyone in Seattle couldn't get any sleep until Russell Wilson got his money. We were tossing and turning with you there, little guy.
Well, I didn't know this guy. I know he's a fantastic football player, but
yeah, considering he's shorter than Danny DeVito,
he's an inch taller than I am.
Not tonight, he's not gay. Tonight, he's shorter than Danny DeVito.
But I didn't know that he, you know, he's like, I thought he was, I guess, older than he was. I feel like he's been in the league for a while.
Yeah, he has been, man. But he's still young.
Four-year extension, $140 million. God bless. That is, what is that, a year? 30?
That's Augusta membership money right there.
What the hell is that? Yeah, that's like $35 million a year, right?
That's a lot of bread, man.
That's a nice living, bro. That's a nice living. Oh, God bless, man, for him getting the money. But it's just the way the people, the younger generation, are using social media that I think guys like us can't really wrap our heads around. Lou, I mean, you're our age. I mean, are you into this, or?
I'm not into Twitter as much anymore. It just seems more evil on there. But I'm the same as you guys. I was raised, you know, listening to Tony, Tony, Tony.
Tony, Tony, Tony has done it again. Come on. Yeah.
See, now I like Twitter if out of all of them. Well, I like Facebook, but Facebook is more of a commitment because I can't use it that well on my phone. But I really like that. People are nice. Actually, I find the past few years, people seem to be nicer. They don't seem to be, I don't know, maybe just only people that are fans get a hold of me, but I don't seem to get as much. There should be a lot more people being dicks and mean, but maybe not quite as much anymore. Are you finding that or no?
And no, I think the hate is at the all-time high.
Well, there are some times I would definitely email some famous, like, you know, some politicians and stuff that I'd love to say something really mean. But then everybody who has my Twitter account would know what I just said to that person, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that I have in my head that I don't necessarily throw out on social media just because it's just for what? I mean, like. There's a guy by the name of Ed Mylett, M-Y-L-E-T-T. I did his podcast, and he has an unbelievable podcast in regards to exactly what we're talking about, of people putting their energy out to things that really don't deserve any energy. You just have to, I'm not going to go any further than that. Just look up Ed Mylett. It's M-Y-L-E-T-T. And he's got a great podcast, and he does something about people putting energy towards things that really don't deserve it. But yeah, man, it's like half of the things I think in my head that I think are hysterical would never play.
Yeah, me too. I'm very sarcastic, and that never plays either. So
no, it's like the tone in which you would say that to me, or to, you know, like if me and you were talking, like I think we should do a podcast unedited, and just we could do an hour right after this of things that we really wanted to say, and it would be dropped dead hysterical in my point of view, but no one would ever hear it, right?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? The things are you kidding me? The border? You ever have this? Like, I had a conversation with my father yesterday. I said, Dad, they would think we were drinking moonshine in Kentucky right now if they heard this conversation. Lou, that is an edit, actually. I think that's got to be an edit.
You can't even talk about what you want to talk about.
Right, you didn't say anything yet. You said nothing.
I said everything, man. Although, you know, remember back when you used to do Cleveland, when you do that TV show and you'd play hilarities, and there's that lovely lady who hosted. Yeah. She's Greek.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was doing her show last week. And I go on, and you know, I was going to talk about the family and da-da-da, and I don't even know why I did this. But as soon as we come on, she goes, so Pete, you know, you're Italian, I'm not, I'm Greek, I wish I was. And I go, well, I'm also half Irish. And I go, although, I got to do the Ancestry.com now. See, I might have a... I go with those reparations. Got to see if I got a little African American in me. Huh? Get some of that. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. Yeah. You know? To the point where when it ended, 5 minutes went by, which we had fun, and it ended, and I still had to go right away. I go, hey, sorry about the reparations thing. I don't even know where that came from. I was just reading the news this morning, and it hit me.
But that's funny, though. You know what I'm saying? By the way, I'm a huge pickleball guy. You got to play, bro.
Are you playing now just because if Leo calls you again, you want to be on top of your game? Or are you playing with Leo and that's why you're pretending
it's... No. I'm playing now. I'm playing in other cities.
Oh, wow. You took your game on the road.
Took my game on the road, and we went into one of these kind of like rec centers.
Yeah.
And it is... There's old people playing, but they're fantastic. But they don't move. Like my buddy and I, who I go on the road with, John, he plays, and we're like diving, and we're all over the court. These old people, they stay in one place, and they kind of like little dick and dumps. Like,
yeah.
The way they place it is so precise that they don't have to move.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to place it, and we are literally flying all over the court like it's Wimbledon and Connors is serving the McEnroe.
Oh, right. Doing all that running around trying to stay on.
For nothing.
That's like I've seen that in racquetball when I've tried to do that. The really good ones, they know where it's going to go and conserving energy. So now, do you find yourself getting slowly, is your game getting smarter like that?
I don't want to get smarter because I actually like running my ass. I'm there to exercise. I'm not there to like trick the guy out. I like going back and forth. I'm there to like get something going.
Oh, you're not playing with a stint in your chest. I got you.
I think it's stent, but I like stint better.
Yeah. That was close. Nice. Man. All right. Well, listen, man, I'm going to look a YouTube game up, and if I'm out to L.A., I will be. We're going to play a little pickleball. One of these days we'll be in the same area.
No, we're going to do a pickleball, definitely. All right, what do you got? What's going on?
Yeah. I got a run with Regan coming up on Long Island and Syracuse Funny Bone, and then a nice announcement next week. I got a good announcement of show, something good. That's all I'll say right there, man.
Okay, what do I got? I got Des Moines, Iowa, April 19th, April 20th, Louisville, Kentucky. That's this weekend. May 3rd, Indianapolis. May 4th, St. Louis. May 16th, San Diego. May 17th, San Diego as well. May 18th, Phoenix. I end this tour, or this leg of the tour, in Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel. On Memorial Day weekend, May 25, May 26, Sebastian Live has all those dates plus some over the summer. Also got some really cool merchandise up there. Great hang. Sorry we missed last week. I'm going to go cook my lamb chops, cook my broccoli, some roasted potatoes. My wine for this week, the recommendation is a 2016 Estate Cabernet from... Howell Mountain, Napa Valley. There you have it.
One last thing. I'll be at the Stress Factory this Saturday, April 20th, my birthday, and Hitler's, and also Jessica Lange's, Bridgeport, Connecticut Stress Factory. I'll be there.
Good hang, good guys, and absolutely. We will see you next week.
The show has ended.
We got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
All right, pour another glass.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.